Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, wonderful, good-looking, talented, creative, and just stupendous co-host, Monica.
Wow, Hi. Did you write all that down?
No, I thought I just like freeballed that.
That was amazing. Thanks very much for all the praise. It was really, really good without stumbling. It looked a bit as if you were reading it, but I appreciate it. Yeah, you're great. You're great.
I'm great.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Amanda?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Monica.
She had to think for a second, but then
well,
it came out.
It was not so much like a think. It was just like an acknowledging that I'm doing really great.
That's cool. I'm excited.
Yeah. How are you doing?
It's a stressful week. I seem to be on top of it for now. I do fear what's coming, though. So that's more like the fear of what's going to happen in this week situation.
But just think about it, because if you get everything done this week, you have all of next week off.
I know, but that's also big pressure, which if it gets very tricky, that means that I'm not jinxing it right now, but it could potentially mean that I need to stay up for quite a long time at one of the few days that are still left. So we will see how that goes. So far, I'm mostly on top of it right now. So I have nothing where I do need the pressure. I'm a pressure worker.
I need deadlines
and having someone behind me hitting me with a stick, that's when I get shit done. So that's what's happening this week. Because again,
I feel you. Clients give me work and they're like, this is due on October 20th. I'm like, great, you gave it to me on the 26th of August. No problem. Totally have that done. Like, finish it on October 9th.
Yeah, same. Like,
yeah, totally gonna get this done early. Uh-huh. No.
I know. That's the worst for me, to be honest. If I know that there is stuff that I need to do, but there is no pressure, I probably, even though I would have time, I'm not getting it done. It's weird. It's very stupid.
It's that, like, pressure, deadline life,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I was always like this. But my mom was also like this. So we just noticed the difference very hard in the family, because my sister-in-law and her family is super organized with inviting people to their birthday a year in advance or something. And my mom just sent it out like a week before. So if even. So that's
I have a friend that's like that as well, planning for a year or more in advance.
I mean, it must be a really great life like this, but I just don't know why I don't.
I think it would be stressful, like, planning that far ahead. Like, what happens? Like, shit happens! And what about spontaneity and fun and deciding last minute to do shit?
Yeah, but I don't think that the first one actually means that the other one cannot happen. So I don't think if you're organized, you cannot be spontaneous. I think if you would be more organized, or I would be more organized in my life, I would have more room to be spontaneous. Because now it's sometimes like so much hitting me at the same time, and I'm then drowning in all the shit that's going on. Whereas if I would have organized, I could have had less stress, and it would be, I don't know, more room to do spontaneous things.
That's a cool way of thinking about it.
But it still doesn't help me anyway, so I'm just doing shit like at last minute ever. I did it the last 34 years. I don't think I will not do it the next 34 years, so let's just acknowledge that that's how it goes.
Fair enough. I acknowledge. Yeah.
So what have you been up to, geeky-wise? Because that's something I want to know we started.
I've been reading a lot.
You look so surprised.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I'm like, I haven't really done much, like, gaming other than some Warcraft. And I talk about that quite often, so I don't think I need to be like, oh, I played a lot of Warcraft again. So the other things that I've done is I've been reading a lot. I've been reading some books that are going to be going up as reviews on Geek Herring.
Nice.
One book in particular, it was an advanced reader copy, and it was really, really good. So I'm excited for that one to be released. And then I found this cool book called Thornhill in a charity shop the other day, and it was like half graphic novel and half diary entry taking place. Like, the diary entry was taking place in the 80s, and then it wasn't even a graphic novel. It was just like a picture book, kind of. Like, there was no words at all, taking place in modern day. And it was like a story being told. I was intrigued flipping through it, and I read it in a night, and it was really cool.
That sounds interesting. I mean, I don't think I can imagine what it's actually like, but you can put it in the show notes so everybody can see what you're even talking about.
I will. And I think I'm going to write a review on that as well, because it was a short read. I read it in a sitting, even though it was like 500 pages long, but because of the style,
yeah,
I was able to read it, like, sit down, read it, done. It just brought up a lot of emotions for me, so I'm definitely going to write about that. And last night I started to read Cassandra Clare's Mortal Instruments series, which I had friends absolutely obsessed with back, like, when it first came out in 2004 or 5 or whenever it was, and I never read it. I just couldn't devote myself to another series like that. But I found it in a charity shop yesterday, or on Saturday, or the other day. I don't know when it was, the other day. And I picked it up and I was like, it's the first book in the series. You never really see this one hanging out in charity shops. So I picked it up and went to bed last night and read half of it.
So nice.
So yeah, it's caught me the way that the first Twilight book caught me. Like, it was an easy read. It was kind of cheesy. There wasn't an awful lot to it. And it left me intrigued and wanting more. Uh-huh. I only say the first Twilight book because the rest of them were very disappointing. I read the whole series. I'm hoping the Mortal Instruments isn't going to be like that. But it's just that, like, lighthearted series, like, fiction crack, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Not sure. I just nod to what you just said.
Like, okay, so you have your books, like the Robin Hobb series, that are amazing. And they grip you and you really want to read them, but they're kind of intense.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is like, it's lighthearted. It's just enjoyable to read without giving you too much to
intense consider emotions.
And think about. Yeah, no intense emotions. Just like, it's kind of, it's just an chilled out kind of enjoyable but not obsessive read.
Uh-huh.
I hear you. Is what I was getting from it.
I hear you. It's interesting.
I mean, maybe come like book 2 or 3, I'll be like, oh my god, this is amazing. This is the best book ever. Everybody needs to read this. I don't know. But like, I'm halfway through the first one and I am enjoying it, but it's not.
Sometimes you can just be happy when a book just gives you good entertainment. Because mm-hmm. I have read books where I'm like, why did I even waste my time with that? But I started to read it and I'm like, I'm finishing it because I started it now. And then in the end, I was like, well, this was a waste of time. Mm-hmm. So I hear you when you at least, and sometimes you don't want to have something that makes you all, like, that gives you a lot of emotion, just makes you, like with TV series, you know, sometimes you just want to see something that's not making your brain work too hard, but still gives you a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get you on that.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. What about you?
So I have been starting out the puzzle that I ordered. Mm-hmm. It's bigger
Taking
than I thought.
Advice.
Yes. It's bigger than I thought.
What is it?
It's German landscape. Basically looks like the Netherlands. Usedom. So it looks nice. A lot of grass in it. A lot of sky that's pink. So a lot of same kind of puzzle pieces. But I'm getting there. And I continue to read a bit in His Dark Materials, which is interesting that you say that, said that just before, because that one gives me a very dark feeling while I'm reading it. It's really weird. Started out in the first book, it's not something, even though it's about kids and everything, but it's not something where you feel like this is a light book. It's mm-hmm. giving you the creeps just reading it, which is very intense, actually.
Yeah. But I remember reading that. It was back in 2007, I think. I think I was traveling at the time. And, like, it was intense. It was good, but I was like, this is a heavy read.
Right, which is, like, the breathing. I caught myself being all, yeah, tense and stuff. And, and I mean, at the beginning, the main character really pissed me off. But then we had that in the Robin Hobb book as well, where one pissed me off so hard. And while I don't appreciate all of her characteristics, it's still a really good book. I mean, the second one now, so I don't even know what it's called, but it's a good book.
The Subtleness.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one. Well, cool. So I like that we've both been kind of getting our reading on lately. That's really good.
I have ups and downs ever since after university. I stopped reading for pleasure. So during and after. So I got back into that and
make reading great again. I am trying very actively to read more. And read more of things that I enjoy. And I enjoy fiction. And I can't just make myself read nonfiction all the time. The occasional book is fine.
Yeah.
But, like, everybody... not everybody, but I hear a lot of people in, like, the online business realm or, like, when you own your own business, they're like, you shouldn't read fiction. You should only read, like, nonfiction, because why would you waste time when you could be learning?
And
I'm like...
Yeah, but whatever.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Right. What you just said.
Yeah, I'm so done with that, like, you need to read business all the time. I'm like, no, because that's boring.
I don't want to read business all the time. And I feel it's sad because you lose something. It's same with during university, right? You think you have to read so many other stuff and you can't read for pleasure anymore. But then you lose so much enjoyment and so many stories. And it's just sad. Why should you? Why? So...
Exactly.
Fuck you. Yes, you got it right.
Yeah, I've got it. And hit it right there on the head.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, cool. So today we are talking about Geek Girl in the News.
Woo!
Woo! My favorite subject.
I'm glad that you embraced it so much now.
I've always embraced it.
I know, you were a bit...
It just disheartened me because other people aren't as into this episode as I am. But I think it's awesome. And my awesomeness is just going to shine through in how awesome the episode is.
Exactly. As you said. 100% agree.
Yeah. Cool. Do you know that... Sorry. Random tangent. My mom, I said like 100% when she was over. As in like I really agreed with something or I was 100% positive. And she made fun of me for the rest of the time that she was here. Because she was like, why can't you just say you're positive? And I was like, because I'm 100% positive, Mom. Like, I'm not 99% positive. I'm 100% positive. And she gave me a really hard time. And now she's all like, 100%.
I like that.
Sorry, just tangents.
Well, it's like when you make... Some things are more than the most, you know? So
I know.
I feel you on that. Yeah. Cool.
So our first news article, hard turn there, is called The Scully Effect and the Feminist Future of STEM.
Ooh, STEM. We've heard it a few times already.
Yeah, science, technology, and math.
You said that great. Just pop it in there again.
Pop it in there.
Because I couldn't think of it anymore, what it meant, to be very honest with you.
I kind of got that impression. Like,
you saw my big question mark on my face.
Yeah. So this article is talking about the 4th annual AT&T Shape Conference that happened in June at Warner Brothers Studios. So it was focusing on 5G and the future of entertainment, which is pretty cool.
5G, yay! Speedy hand mobile phones. Woo!
And basically, it's a very long article, but it's about role models on TV that influence women to go into STEM careers.
Which is amazing.
I mean, like, there's a little bit more to the article, and that's why we're linking it in the show notes. but basically, they're talking about the cool women that influence. So the panel had people like Gina Davis, who is an actor and activist, and Mayim Bialik from The Big Bang Theory.
Astrophysicist
Erin McDonald. And it's about like women in STEM, women in STEM careers on TV, and how to make the future more female.
That Gina Davis created an institute on gender in media. I find that amazing. And she did identify the Scully effect. That's something you must be super delighted about.
Yep. Yeah, Dana Scully from The X-Files is pretty much the quintessential 90s female scientist role model. And she's awesome. And Gillian Anderson is also awesome. Like, it's not just limited to Scully. It's also the actress who played her. And I can say without a doubt in my mind that Scully influenced my best friend Steph to go into astrophysics, to go into science. And because X-Files was Steph's favorite show, still is probably her favorite show. And, like, she had action figures and stuff and, like, posters of the X-Files, and she loves Scully. And, like, she basically is Scully now, because Scully was a scientist who studied the alien, more or less. I mean, there. Well, I mean, she was a... but anyways, yeah.
But so she was in science.
Yeah, like, firsthand, I can see this, for sure.
Was that... I'm wondering if there was any other representation of women in science before Scully on television? I mean, I can't think of something, but I reckon probably more in smaller roles, but nothing really in a big role like this.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. Not before that, any. No, not that I can think off the top of my head. There might be, but there's definitely. Scully started strong STEM
big
ladies.
Big hype.
So, who inspires you, Monica, in, like, STEM media?
I didn't watch The X-Files. I find it great that me and BL geek, well, you know, it's problematic to say. I really appreciate it, actually, that she's went from being a television series child star, child actor, to then going into science and then going back to acting. That was just, it's just, I just find these paths always very interesting. Because you would think that, yeah, most of the time they don't have it figured out and then they just keep acting. But apparently a passion was big enough for her to go into something like neuroscience. So I think that's just in general really interesting for me. And then that she also played a neuroscientist, Big Bang. So I don't think I was influenced during my childhood by some women in STEM way. Because, to be fair, my parents weren't scientists at all. So we weren't in a... So that was no one I knew. And I didn't watch X-Files. Actually, when I think about it, I wasn't really anything that I would relate to in science when I was a kid. Interesting. So yeah, but now I can appreciate how Amy Farrah Fowler did it. Let's just call it that.
Well, for sure. Like, when I was a kid or a teenager, I was really interested in math and engineering. Mm-hmm. But I attribute that more to my dad because that's basically the industry that he was in, structural engineering. And I was dead set on becoming a structural engineer until dad was like, Amanda, you would be bored. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I didn't pursue it. Whether I should have or not is a moot point, really. But I do find myself being more interested in STEM subjects now in my 30s. I'm like, I wish I knew more about this. I kind of wish that I had studied this, or was somehow in this industry, as opposed to just fangirling from the outside of all these strong women in STEM subjects.
Yeah, I mean, I was great in maths, right? And then I decided I'd go study, be a teacher in maths and English. But that only lasted for 3 weeks. Because, yeah, math in university is just nowhere, like literally nowhere near anything you do in school. So I was just sitting there having zero clue what the guy said. Zero clue. Like, I had minus clue at that point. And I didn't even know what to talk about. And that was, and I mean, with 18, it took me a while. I was late with everything and I had to take the public transport to go to Graz because I didn't live there. So that was all something that I couldn't quite handle at that age. Mm-hmm. And then all the lessons were really stretched out. So I was staying in Graz at the uni for the entire day without anywhere to go. So that was just not an ideal setup. And initially, I always wanted to do the graphic design situation. So that was something I was always really passionate about. But I thought, I'm going to be a math and English teacher. And then when I had the option to switch schools still, even though I was a month late, then I did that. But yeah, girls were a rare breed back then. That's so long ago. So long ago. And yeah, you would have, I think I would have been able to make really good money with it. Because especially when you study math, it's just, there are so, because so many drop out there. It's such a tough subject. So many drop out, and that's why they take you on really early for whatever job, because it's really tough. But that was mainly because I was good at math and my math teacher was cool. She wasn't the smartest candle on the tree, I guess. So, like, not the best math teacher in school, but I really liked her a lot, and that was mainly, yeah. But I hear what you say. It's, there is so much more that you don't know exists when you're a teenager. Mm-hmm. So STEM is so much more than just math. And it's just more than just engineering. So there are so many different fields that would be interesting that you as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old have seriously no clue about. So that's really sad. And I find it great that there are, on the one hand, more shows like this. And on the other hand, people like apparently Gina Davis, who create institutes who help girls focus on the gender perspective as well and all of that stuff. Because we can do it too.
Some of my favorites right now that are on the TV and movie screens. So Penelope Garcia from Criminal Minds, because she is just like that techie badass who knows everything. Gemma Simmons from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's one of the resident scientists. She's just amazing, like super smart in every aspect of her entire life. I'm like, hashtag goals, can I go back in life and just become Gemma Simmons? And then Bones, basically, Dr. Brennan from Bones. She's an anthropologist, she's a scientist, she's a pathologist, she's just so analytical. And I like her because she shows that you don't have to have a huge range of emotions, like, and you can be very analytical, and it's cool. Like, it's just embracing a different personality type, I think. And that's why I like her so much. Yeah, and I also like that Shuri from Black Panther is pretty much the smartest woman, smartest person in the entire, like, Marvel universe.
That I really loved, because she's awesome. But somehow in my head, I don't put her and STEM together, which I don't even know why I don't do that. But
I don't know why, because, like, she is STEM. She is, like, the epitome of a STEM woman.
It's true.
Yeah.
Also because we not called it that. So that's why it took me the last few episodes to figure out what STEM even means. So that's why for me it never came up for me in my brain when I watched anything where I was thinking, ooh, that's a woman in STEM and that's someone in STEM. So, but yeah, Shuri. Yeah. Shuri is awesome. I really like Shuri.
And this representation on TV is not only is it good because obviously representation matters, but it helps girls with what we were saying way back when we were first starting Geek Herring, like see her and be her. It's just all these women are doing really good things.
I think we underestimate the power of that, and which is a bummer to be honest, but it's so important. That's why I think we need it more and more and more and more and more.
Yeah. I completely agree. And our next article comes from Jonathan Bloom, or Frasley, and it's how a summer camp is bringing young women to the games industry.
Which is super amazing, because we want everyone to work in the games industry.
Well, I mean, not everyone. We need people in a variety of careers. Yeah. Because if everybody was just in games, then...
Well, can you think of something negative right now? Yeah.
No, I can't think of anything negative, but I'm also like, but what about, like, people that are in media and TV and science and teaching people and making food. Food's important.
Yes, okay, you persuaded me right there. I hear you. Food is important. We need at least game developers and cooks.
Yeah. Or at least farmers.
Yeah, farmers.
Or backyard farmers.
Yeah, I mean, like the game developers can also garden in their backyard.
Anyways, so this is a summer camp in
10 different areas.
This is a summer camp in 10 different areas across the United States where girls get together and are taught how to code and develop games, and it's pretty great.
They also did that they started with this initiative and with these summer camps already in 2014. And more than 6,000 girls have already attended these Girls Make Games camps, which is amazing.
It's incredible, actually. It reminds me of an initiative that a local game developer here in Northern Ireland has started. A local female game developer here in Northern Ireland is on the panel, the director's panel, creating for an initiative very similar called Girls Game Lab, which does workshops across Northern Ireland and England and Scotland, probably Wales as well, eventually, to basically learn to code and learn to game. It's not a camp as such, but it's something pretty cool anyways.
At least an initiative to bring more girls into gaming.
Yeah.
So these camps that we've been mentioning now that are taking place in the US, they are girls only, so there are no boys are attending there. And just to quote the article a bit, the youngest girl of the team mentioned that it's even more fun that there are no boys, because on the one hand, boys are annoying. So I find that hilarious. But an older girl then mentions they're always doing the Fortnite dance, and when boys are around, they try to take over and push the girls out. So, which is pretty sad that this is happening, but I think in a special age range, it's also particularly difficult to get boys and girls together in a room. So I think it's great that they, and it's hard because they do have different interests because they've been socialized like that. So that's what makes it, I guess, more difficult in a group setting and in workshop settings to address all of the interests in the room. And if they have just a group of girls doing it all together, I think that's great. Especially if they then get the opportunity to actually do stuff and build stuff and get acknowledged in the right way. And I think that's important because we've never actually been acknowledged in these fields before, really.
And like we've talked about before, we need to encourage girls, especially girls that are interested in video games, to start studying. One of the directors of the gaming summer camps says that there's a common pattern among girls who love video games. An 8-year-old girl says playing and making video games is her favorite thing in the world. But if you catch her 5 or 6 years later, she doesn't think of it as a career path anymore. So, like, taking hold of kids that show an interest in this, like, at that age, and nurturing it and developing it, and, like, showing them that this is a path for women to go into, it's so important. And that's why initiatives like these summer camp and the Girls Game Lab and even organizations like code.org are so good for just nurturing that interest.
And built by girls. For, yeah.
So we need more of this, and I think that it's fantastic. So congratulations to Girls Make Games.
100%!
So next up, we're going to leave women in tech and head over to the gaming world really quick and talk about Twitch.
We talk about Twitch on a regular basis here, but it's always an interesting conversation. And I, from one article to the next, I am constantly thinking, I don't want to be in a position to moderate something like this. But anyway, this specific article is talking about the fact that a Twitch streamer started to breastfeed her baby during stream last night. And clips of the moment then have been removed from Twitch, which obviously sparked a debate whether or not this even violates Twitch terms and services or not. Whereas some people mention that breastfeeding constitutes sexual content.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
They mention it's particularly problematic because if you're a pro streamer, then obviously what you need to do is be on stream and stream, right? Because that's how you make money. So you don't get the proper compensation. You can't go on maternity leave from streaming, really. So that's what makes it more difficult for, I would say, especially women streamers. Because most of the time there is at least a certain amount of care that the baby needs that only the mom can give the kid and a certain time in their lives. Especially breastfeeding, right? Basically, what they need to do then is save their money and then try to get through that time, and especially when they're in the US, which I would assume is very tricky in general with maternity leaves, not like here in Europe or especially in Austria, where you can go on maternity leave for 2 years and stay at home with your kids. Yep.
I thought that the UK was good, and it's like 9 months to a year. So I was just like, whoa, 2 years, that's really good.
Oh yeah, it depends on how much money you want to earn. So you get, now I think they switched the system up where you can get, where you get basically a big pot of money, and then they, you can decide how long you stay at home. But previously it were, they had a few models where it was 1 year, and then it was, I don't know, 24 months and 36 months or something. So you had to decide between those, but now they give you a pot and then you decide how you want to do this.
Okay.
But yeah, that's not something that's happening in the US. random
facts.
Anecdote. I was sourcing jobs for a while for a client, and started to write emails for certain job descriptions, and then I got out of the office notices back from the US people who mentioned that they are on a maternity leave right now, which I found really hilarious, because that would not happen here. So people
it's like, oh, it's like 3 weeks. Yeah. Okay. They'll be back.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there are a few important things touched on by that article, because on the one hand, breastfeeding is sexual. Jeez.
Okay. So people eat on stream all the time, right? I was just flicking through streams the other day, and there was literally a girl, I don't know who it was, but they had like a fair amount of followers. So a female streamer, and she was just sitting there chatting and eating a burger, like a fast food burger wrapper and all. It was delightful. And while I was on the stream, somebody did 20,000 bits just because she was sitting there eating a burger. And like, I don't know what a bit equates to. I'm not all up on the Twitch lingo or anything, or how it exactly works, but she essentially got paid to eat on stream. Okay. And if you're a mom and you're breastfeeding, because obviously breastfeeding doesn't work for everyone, or it's not the right choice for everyone. So, but if you are a breastfeeding mom and your baby needs food and you're streaming, why the hell shouldn't you breastfeed your child on screen? Like, it's not like it's the titty show. It's the, my child needs food.
Also, if you ever actually seen a woman breastfeed in front of you, you basically don't see shit anyway. You don't see anything. And it's ridiculous.
Like, breastfeeding is legal across the United States. It's legal in most of Europe, as far as I know. It's legal in Canada. Like, it's not something that, or like, breastfeeding in public. Sorry. Yeah. Breastfeeding is illegal.
What? You caring said baby? Breastfeeding is illegal. We heard that on a podcast.
Breastfeeding in public is legal, like in most of the world. Not the entire world, because the world is fucked up in places, right? But feeding your child in public with your boob is legal in most of the world. And it's also allowed on the likes of Instagram. Like breastfeeding pictures and normalizing breastfeeding and all that, like pictures of that is normal, or is allowed, not against the terms and services, conditions, whatever, totally fine. Nipples are bad. Breastfeeding's fine though.
Female nipples are bad.
Female nipples.
Yeah, because male nipples are no problem.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So basically what I'm saying is it should be fine on a Twitch stream.
You know, I totally think that this is not sexual content, and I think we're in an age and in a time where if you don't want to see something, you click away. So if you feel uncomfortable with someone breastfeeding on stream, then click away. But I feel the ban issue is just because it's not sexual content. It's the course of nature, and people and babies need their food, and they need their food now. And they don't need their food in 5 hours when you're done streaming, but they need their food now. And
exactly.
If you don't want to do this, and if you don't want to watch it, then go somewhere else in the
just
time.
Turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off. But deleting that specific scene, I don't agree with it.
I'm fine. My opinion is, whatever. If you are streaming and you're a breastfeeding mom and your baby needs food, like, just do it.
The same people, well, see boobs in a sexual content, are happy to see boobs everywhere else and claim that's not sexual. Or that's no problem that there are boobs flying around in game by hardly dressed thing. That's just something I like to see, but it's not sexual at all, and it's not sexualizing women. But when someone,
you know, why I think it is a problem for those people is because it's not, it's the boob being used for like what it's meant to be used for. It's not turning them on, and it's not sexualizing it. I think it's like the opposite of a sexualized boob, and that's why they have such a problem with it. Like, oh, it's sexual content. Fuck off.
Okay. So they use the argument that is usually used against whatever they enjoy, against something that's 100% natural. Probably. And I think another thing that article brings up, that there needs to be something in place for professional streamers, like healthcare-wise and all that stuff. But that's a whole other topic for the US entirely. But yeah. Difficult, I guess.
So, yeah, that's it. It's a pretty interesting article that we're linking in the show notes for you to check out. But, yeah, my opinion is if your kid's hungry, breastfeed them. Whether on stream or off stream. It doesn't need to be. You don't need to only breastfeed on stream.
Yeah. I was just seeing a picture here of that stream breastfeeding situation. You can't see anything. All you see is the baby on the boob. And you don't even see the boob because she's having one of those clothes where you can basically flip up the boob and just pop the baby on. So she's not even getting fully undressed. Oh, she's also an ASMR person. But whatever.
So what's your opinion on breastfeeding on stream? We would love to. So let us know in the comment on any social media or on the blog post. Next up, we have the new superstars of Chinese Hearthstone coming at you from our favorite Hearthstone enthusiast, Tom Knight.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I don't know shit about Hearthstone, so you have to explain me what's going
on. Okay. So basically, history was made the first week of August when a 23-year-old Chinese woman qualified for the Hearthstone Global Finals.
For the Global Finals?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's pretty, pretty awesome. It's proving that girls can be strong professional players just like the guys. There aren't too many, like, women in Hearthstone playing at a professional level. Of course, there's Patra, and there was one other woman that I can think of off the top of my head, but I can't remember her name, who was competing at a high level of Hearthstone as well, an international competition. But the Global Finals is pretty big. It's coming from especially like this woman who goes by the name VKLion.
Layu.
Comes from a small town in the northwest of China, so she hasn't come from like Tokyo or that's Japan. She hasn't come from
Beijing.
Yeah, she hasn't come from Beijing. Like she didn't grow up in a huge city. She did grow up just in like a small town. So her competing at the Masters tour level and qualifying for the Globals is actually a pretty big deal. Because it's showing that there's opportunities out there for female streamers. Another opinion is coming in from a 27-year-old Hearthstone player, and she says that when it comes to women getting involved in esports, forget your gender and do it. And I really love that. I really love that. It's so good. And it's so true. And like our episode with Thist, you know, women are coming into esports, and it's just because gaming wasn't really something that women did, that girls did as children. They did, obviously we did because we're here. but it was more marketed toward little boys.
Yeah.
And so that's obviously why now the esports is such a thing. Like, it's mostly boys and men. And women are coming. We were just a bit late to the game.
They didn't let us on the table, but now we're coming to the table. I think it's similar to what you said with Sim, right? It wasn't promoted to something that we would want to do. Or what you said with the game developers, it wasn't something... They were super passionate about it, but suddenly it wasn't even a valid career path. So now that more girls show up on screen, show up in these tournaments and get more and more visible, the haters can keep on hating and keep on potating, but at some point we will make that as well. There is no real scientific reason why we shouldn't be able to do that. It's not because our fingers are smaller or bigger, or the man's fingers are smaller or bigger to move the controller or the keyboard. So that's basically... And it's not proven that reaction is somehow men react faster than women. So basically we have the same abilities and skills as a human being. So
excited to see more of VKL on main stage and following her career.
Also, I find it pretty hilarious that her boyfriend is also a professional Earth Chinese player. So geek couples are best couple.
Can confirm.
Cool. Let's hop over to the next article.
Mm-hmm. So this article was talked about in quite a few places I've seen online, but it was submitted to us by one of our very loyal listeners, Manu. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Did I do it right?
You were on the U, I would say Manu, but whatever.
Oh, not
Manu. Manu. But I like it sounds Manu. Cute when you say Manu.
Well, I think it sounds cute when you say Manu.
Well, that's over-exaggerated.
I think I sound right ridiculous now. Saying like that.
Whatever. Both ways, I hope you appreciate.
Yes. We love you.
Yes.
Yes. So she has submitted these articles to us about ads, TV ads, being banned in the United Kingdom for contravening gender stereotyping rules. So, which I think is fantastic. I watched both ads, and I think that they were right to ban them because they are doing absolutely nothing to talk about gender equality. And
to be honest, I watched mainly the VW ad. I kind of got that past the watchdog, the Philadelphia ad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the Philadelphia ad is basically two dads meeting up for brunch or something, brunch or lunch or
probably
something.
Brunch.
And probably brunch. And they put their babies down while they're like totally invested in this Philadelphia cream cheese. And they're like, it pans to them and they're just so enthralled with the cream cheese that they don't notice that they put the baby down on like a conveyor belt and the baby was leaving their presence. And then they like see, oh shit, the baby's like really far away. And so like, yes, okay, on the surface, it's quite a cute and funny ad. But when you think about it, it's just perpetuating the stereotype that men are shit dads.
Yeah.
And that they don't care. And it's, that infuriated me because it's such a thing these days about, you know, men can't do something because they're babysitting their kid. And it's like, yeah. No, it's your child. You're just its parent, right? Yeah. Like, you're not babysitting it. And like, okay, I don't have kids, but it still really bothers me that there is this thing that men don't have the ability to be a good parent.
In the public view, you mean.
Yeah. Like, obviously, that's right. Like, yes, men are good parents.
Yeah.
Or I should say men can be good parents.
Yeah. Men can be good parents.
Because there are shit parents out there, and that's both men and women. That's moms and dads. Yeah. Like, there are shit parents out there. So, aside from that, you know, like, just this perpetuating the viewpoint that actually men are all shit and that men are really bad parents, like, it just pisses me off.
It's really annoying. I find it really annoying that, first of all, I appreciated that they took the ad down for gender, something that's gender stereotypical for men, because often you see it as well, like, the women are always, they're always complaining and blah, blah, blah. I appreciate that they took the ad down for perpetuating a male stereotype. Because often it's always the fight against the female stereotype that seems to get so much attention. But in that case, it's not about, there was no mother in this app and there were no women in the ad. So it was really just about that shit because that's not how men are. So that's awesome. Whereas in the VW ad, it was a mixture of, well, you saw the e-Golf driving around. And you saw clips from a man who was getting it all and he had an prosthetic on his leg and he was high jumping or fart jumping or whatever you say. And the woman was sitting there working in the kitchen, doing kitcheny stuff and also taking care of the kid. And yeah, it was really just the men are those who go out and get stuff done and the women are the ones who stay at home and nurture and whatever and read on the bench with the baby in the pram and stuff.
Yeah, when I saw this ad, I was like, okay, there's two male astronauts in like up in space being all STEM creative. There's a male Paralympian or male athlete with a prosthetic leg, like, running around a track. Rock climbers, which, according to the article, there was both a male and a female sleeping in a tent on a cliff face, but I only noticed the man. That I didn't actually notice a woman. And then the Gulf drives past, and there is just a woman passively sitting on a bench with a baby. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you show these men in all these amazing and adventurous and engaged and STEM activities, like, being awesome. And then the only way that you depict a woman is as a mother sitting there passively watching life go by. Like, fuck you, Volkswagen. This ad pissed me off to no end. And, like, yeah. Oh.
I didn't even get the message of that. What that has to do anything with an e-car. And I totally get usually how they create car ads, right? So it's mostly about the feeling they portray, and you see a lot of landscape, and you see a lot of whatever is going on. But I don't see anything in that ad that basically tells me an e-car is an awesome car. It has nothing to do with whatever you see in the ad. You don't even see... Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. You don't see a lot of... It doesn't give you... If it portrays an emotion, then it's not a great emotion for any female. And
no,
I am pretty sure, and let me just recreate the stereotype, that probably a lot of women would really like to have an electric car. Like, I guess that these are probably the people that women are probably more likely to buy an e-car than men would.
Maybe.
If we think in the stereotypical kind of way that men like fast rides and loud rides and all that shit, then I guess that's likely something where females are more inclined to switch to e-cars. But that's just a theory that I'm putting out there.
Interested to hear opinions on that.
Yeah.
I do think that the scene at the end of this ad with the woman sitting with her baby and then the Volkswagen e-car coming past was to show how silent it was that it didn't wake up the baby. I'm like, okay, I can see that. But why could it have been a man sitting with his baby?
Why couldn't she drive with a car and the baby sleep super super smooth in the back seat because it's so quiet?
Yeah, and why couldn't she have been in space with the other astronauts? Why was... Like, it just pissed me off. It just... There was so much wrong with this ad that I'm really proud that the UK's watchdog took a stance on this and banned both of these ads because they're both just perpetuating these stupid stereotypes that are just so completely untrue.
Same as my argument.
Yeah. But now that we've gotten that shitty, disappointing stuff over with, we get to talk about some really cool pop culture coming up.
Which, the first article is something that you are more excited about.
I am really excited about this. So, Monica broke my heart because she doesn't know who Nancy Drew is.
I mean, I heard the name, but I would have had no idea where to put it. Like, isn't there a song or some saying with Nancy Drew? I don't even know.
I think it's from a song or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. So Nancy Drew came out, like, what, 90 years ago? Like, it was out when my mom was a kid, right? Just this female detective. She was a response to the Hardy Boys, which were a pair of brothers, and they were detectives. So in, like, the 40s and 50s, Nancy Drew was brought out to appeal to the female audience, to the little girls. And I think that that's awesome that they were doing that, like, way back then, trying to balance out the genders. And basically, it's a detective, it's a blonde detective, who's a teenager, and she goes around solving all these mysteries. And she's awesome. And I was obsessed with Nancy Drew when I was a kid. Like, obsessed. In grade 6, we had to send a letter to one of our idols. And I wrote to the author of Nancy Drew, Carolyn Keene, because I was like, your books are amazing. I want to be a detective when I'm older. And you're just phenomenal. Little did I know that Carolyn Keene was a pen name for, like, just... like, basically, people ghost wrote Nancy Drew books, and it was published under the pseudonym of Carolyn Keene. So Carolyn Keene never existed. Like, there's no Carolyn Keene.
Yeah. And there were more people writing these books.
Yep, like, they're still going, as far as I know. Like, there are so many Nancy Drew books out, and they're just by a variety of authors, all published under Carolyn Keene. So, like, this broke 6-year-old Amanda's heart, because Carolyn Keene never wrote back to me.
Aww.
So that was pretty shit. But there's been, like, Nancy Drew movies throughout the years, and now, announced at the San Diego Comic-Con, they are bringing out a new series.
Nice.
And I'm so excited. I'm so excited. because it's like a modern day Nancy Drew. The article here says that she's flawed and she has to grapple with her own demons and loss at the beginning of the series. So like it's bringing a lot of things that people our age or people in this, like in our era, it's just modernizing Nancy Drew.
I'm so curious how you, once it's out, how you will judge it. We'll probably have to watch it and make an episode about it as well. Because mm-hmm. you can be the professional and the expert on how Nancy Drew books were and how the new series is now.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I'm also excited that they're bringing representation into it, because there's Ned Nickerson, who was like this... who was Nancy's boyfriend, basically. And he was the whole 1930s, 1940s, dashingly good-looking, all-American white boy. And Ned Nickerson is going to be played by an English actor, a man of color, Tunji Kasim. And her best friend is being played by an Asian actress, though she is, as far as I can see, she's unnamed in this article. So I can't exactly tell you who it is. But yeah, there is representation coming into this show, which I am very excited about, the modernization of Nancy Drew.
So cool. So,
here for it. And I don't know if they're saying it's going to be a bit like Riverdale, but not in the same universe. So I'm kind of excited. I've got high hopes for it.
Isn't that similar to the Sabrina?
Yeah, it's in the same universe. Because, like, Archie and Sabrina were same era as Nancy Drew. And they were, like, comics in the same universe. But Nancy Drew is not connected to that universe. But it's going to be the same kind of style. And I'm definitely excited for it.
Curious. I'm curious. Yeah. But what I'm mostly curious about, that's probably something that really, really excites me. And I found that article on a friend's Facebook feed. Thanks, Sunny, for posting it.
Thanks, Sunny.
That's the news that The Matrix 4 is... Ooh. And it will even not only feature Keanu Reeves, but it's also created by the director who made it previously, Lana Wachowski. I don't know if I pronounced that one right.
I think so. And on top of that, Carrie Ann Moss is back as Trinity.
Which I'm wondering how that works.
I haven't seen them.
What?!
What, you could break my heart with Nancy Drew? I'll own the fact that I've seen The Matrix 1, and I went to the film on a date to see the second one, and I fell asleep. And I haven't seen the third one.
What the fuck? That's worse than not knowing what Nancy Drew is, because Nancy Drew was a North American, I would say, phenomenon, I guess. That's nothing that I knew over here. I probably have to Google that if I'm right, but anyway, The Matrix was a global phenomenon. Jeez! We have to do some serious educating. I'm going to check out Nancy Drew and you going to watch The Matrix 1, 2, and 3 before 4 is out.
Yes, ma'am.
Jesus. Yeah, really, seriously,
God.
Dude.
Oh, God. Yeah, no.
God. I'm really curious how that's going to work out. Because, I mean, Keanu Reeves, we all love him now. I guess that probably mm-hmm. they just jumped that train because he's in everyone's hearts again at the moment. So they thought people will probably watch it again.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, it was a successful franchise, a successful trilogy, and then the Animatrix as well. And now that Keanu is really cool... Or I should say people are realizing how cool he is. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't they bring it back?
Yeah, I know. I'm excited.
I don't know. It's interesting.
I mean, I have to watch John Wick again to be aware. To recall if he's just as movable right now. But I guess...
That's another series I haven't seen.
I just watched... It's very, very, very brutal. And I mean, I feel him. Someone killed his dog. And then he goes on a rampage. Wow. And
I would go on a rampage too.
That's legit. That's very legit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Challenge for me is to watch all The Matrix.
I will rewatch it. Let's rewatch it together somehow.
And do a show just before it comes out or after it comes out.
Yes.
Yeah. Like an all The Matrix all together.
Fuck
geeking
yeah.
out about the entire fucking Matrix. Whoa. I don't know why I did that.
We did that.
Yeah, it felt right.
We're glad that there is no visual to our podcast. Cool! That was it for this month.
Yeah. And before we turn off, we would just like to say a huge thank you to our newest Patreon. And that is Martin Hoffman Larson from Sleepless in Copenhagen podcast and a fellow Dragon Powered Studio
person.
person.
Thanks so much, Marty. You're the best.
We love you.
Beata does more, but yes.
Maybe. I've known him longer. If you would like to join the awesome ranks of our Patreon supporters, you can do so at www.patreon.com/geekcaring. And of course, that's going to be in the show notes as well.
It's hilarious how you edit the www in the front. Cracked me up right there.
I'm sexy.
I know. Sexy and I know it. Anyway, cool beans.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geekcaring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geekcaring and over on geekcaring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.